about my friend Dave Barry, Gina Baraka is very, very funny for a woman. Gina is most recently the author of It's Not That I'm Bitter, How I Learned to Stop Worrying About Visible Panty Lines and Conquer the World. Gina has appeared on 2020, 48 Hours, NPR, the BBC, The Today Show, and Oprah to discuss gender, power, politics, and humor. She's the editor of 17 books, including the Signet Book of American Humor and the Penguin Book of Women's Humor. Gina writes for the Brainstorm section of the Chronicle of Higher Education and blogs for Psychology Today. She does a weekly column for the Hartford Courant, a monthly column for Principal Leadership, and occasionally spars with Gene Weingarten in his Below the Beltway column in the Washington Post. With degrees from Dartmouth College, Cambridge University, and the City University of New York, Baraka is professor of English and feminist theory at the University of Connecticut. Welcome, Gina. Thanks so much for stopping by the Book Report.
I am absolutely delighted to be here.
We share a common friend, Dave Barry.
I think that one of the nicest things you can have in common with somebody is Dave Barry. That's a really good start.
So Dave was in London at the Olympics, and I sent him an email, and I said, what should I ask Gina? And he said, ask Gina how she really feels about Gene Weingarten. So?
All right. Gene Weingarten is so much more of a sweetheart than anybody gives him credit for being. Now, he and I met. We did this book together called I'm With Stupid. One Man, One Woman, and 10,000 Years of Misunderstanding Between the Sexes Cleared Right Up, which is one of the world's longest titles, but that's fine with me. And Weingarten and I did the book together because he phoned me one day at my office. Now, my day job is I'm a college professor. I teach English and feminist theory at the University of Connecticut. I've been doing that for 25 years. So I'm there. I'm real. I'm tenured. I made full professor before menopause, you know, it's the feminist dream. So I'm sitting at my desk. I have two research assistants in my, you know, I'm in, on the ground floor, basically in the basement. You know, some things come with perks, some things don't. And I get this phone call from someone who identifies himself as from the Washington Post. I'm like, okay. And he says, I'd like to, very, you know, nasal voice, I'd like to interview you because I hear you're an expert on feminism and humor. And I said, yes, I'd just done a book on that. And my first book had been called, they used to call me Snow White, but I drifted, and that had done very well and got into many printings. And this was another book I had I'd recently written before that. And so Weingarten said, being an expert on feminism and humor is like being an expert on oysters and accordions. They don't go together. And I said, gee, I've just spent the last 15 years of my life making sure that that's not in fact the case. So you want to talk about this? You want to take it outside? What do you want to do, mister, who I don't even know, who's calling me at my office? And so as he then said, he thought it would just be a way to torment a girl academic. I'm from Brooklyn. And it turns out that Gene sort of met his match. We, over the space of a year, did a series of columns that appeared in the Washington Post as Gene's humor columns. They're known as the Gene and Gina columns. And we started out competing about who's funnier, men or women. And we let his readers vote. And I won. And then Weingarten said, well, that must be a mistake. So we did it again, and I won a second time. And then Weingarten, being no fool, said, let's get a book contract. And so he went out and did precisely that. And then the final version was, I'm With Stupid. He thinks that women are funny, which I think a lot of men, don't tell anybody, but a lot of men don't.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I think didn't Dave Barry say that you were very, very funny for a woman?
And I put that on the front cover of my book. Yes, a very, very funny dot for a woman dot. Yes, and I still consider that a great compliment. And that was for my most recent collection, which is called It's Not That I'm Bitter, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying About Visible Panty Lines and Conquer the World. Part of why it's called It's Not That I'm Bitter was that after Weingarten and I did I'm With Stupid, Gene then went on to win two Pulitzer Prizes. I didn't. So it's not that I'm bitter. What else was I going to call the next book? Of course, that's what I was going to call the next book. He won his two Pulitzer Prizes, of course, for very different projects. But I really do enjoy the kind of writing that I do and why I'm here at the Writers' Conference today. Because writing humor allows you to address topics that are otherwise taboo, otherwise would be considered off limits, or that people simply wouldn't pay attention to. I get to write about feminism, the last F word in our culture. People won't say feminism. They'll say everything else that starts with an F, but they won't say feminist. And they will, the belief that somehow women have no sense of humor does come up about every 10 years. It's as if we need to somehow get out there and make a plea for this, where it seems sort of remarkable. And I love being able to write columns. They're now distributed by the McClatchy Tribune Syndicate on things that you would not think would necessarily be of interest to people around the world. But I wrote one on how, you know, from 18 to 21, a woman's body is a temple, and how from 21 to 35, it's an amusement park, and how from 40 onward, it's a terrarium. Because every woman I know is like, we're all taking these probiotic things that have 50 billion kinds of flora to keep your intestinal tracts. I thought, I've suddenly become house and gardens, you know, in my, I've never actually weeded, but I'm suddenly becoming this floracopia. And it turns out that everybody feels the same way about everything. And as long as you tell it with, you know, Emily Dickinson said, tell the truth, but tell it slant. Success in circuit lies. And I think that comedy is one of the more interesting circuits that way. You sort of go around the topic a little bit, but you get back into the heart of it.
Can humor writers be nurtured, or must they be born that way?
Oh, I think the nurturing part is essential, because humor really does depend on an audience. It's sort of like, just like you can't dance in your room by yourself and say you're a ballerina, you can't actually say you're a humorist if no one ever hears you say anything or reads your work. You can't be a humorist and have everything just sit in the drawer. Maybe more than any other kind of writing, it needs that that interlocutor. It needs that other person to respond. You only fully write humor if somebody else thinks it's funny. And that's really hard to... one of the reasons it's hard to write humor is because you really have to imagine your audience in your head, and your audience isn't always going to have the same sense of humor that you do. So one of the things that is interesting in learning how to workshop humor pieces is for people to understand the idea of an audience that they're going to need to bring to the humor, that the humor is not going to go get there all by itself, that the author, the writer of humor, is going to need to give it some apparatus and some kind of help and architecture to make that happen.
So would it help a humor writer to actually try and do some, if you will, stand-up?
What they need to do is to do, I don't think that they actually have to do that, but they need to pay attention to the sorts of things that stand-ups pay attention to naturally, which is, for example, a sense of timing on the page. Just as stand-ups need to leave room for somebody to laugh, you need to give time for people to react. Stand-ups know that you can't trample all over your own funny lines. You have to give a little bit of space for somebody to get it. The same thing needs to happen in humor writing. It's not just a series of jokes. It's a series of well-timed stories. So there has to be a build-up. There has to be kind of a repetition. You have to involve the audience in a way that they're allowed to be in on the joke and creators of the joke.
How is it that humor writers are able to step back from absurdities of life that make most of us upset, but see situations in a humorous way?
Well, there's the old adage that says pain plus time equals humor. And pretty much everything plus time equals humor. And one of the most important things, I think, is for folks to understand that humor is transformative, that almost anything with a different perspective on it can be made into a funny story. Not to dismiss it, but just to be able to sort of own it, to be able to understand it differently, to take an entirely new vision of a very old problem.
So are you working on another book right now?
Yes, actually, I'm working on one about women's friendships, because I think that that's a really underplayed, important series of relationships. And I also think that everything that's written about it is very warm and fuzzy and sentimental. And I want to get to the mean, vicious, interesting, fabulous edge that women's friendships really have to them. So I'm playing with those ideas, and I'm having a very good time.
And when might we see that book?
It's in the beginning stages now, so figure probably about a year and a half. I think that that's what got lots of titles floating around, none I've decided on yet, so I'm always looking for good ideas. People should email me at GinaBarecca.com. I answer all my emails, and lots of essays are up there for people to take a look at, and so I'll give away a book to the best title for the next book on women's friendships that I can find.
All right, spell your name and website.
Okay, it's Gina, GinaBarecca.com. GinaBarecca.com, all one word.
Okay, we got a contest going.
All right, sounds good to me. Thanks so much.
Thanks for stopping by.